You turn me, please, the living word of God to the gospel according to Luke and the chapter 12. Luke's gospel and the chapter 12. Some of you will be aware of the little calendars that are printed out at the beginning of each year, and they're available, just a little small card. They're available in the foyer, and they have on it a motto text for the year. Now, I appreciate this is the third Lord's Day in this new year already, but I wasn't here the first Lord's Day, and last Lord's Day morning there was a missionary here giving a deputation, so this is my first opportunity to preach upon the motto text. This is not a text that I came up with. One of the elders suggested it to me, and thinking about it and praying over it, I thought it was very appropriate. Then as I have studied it in preparation for today, and its context, the Lord has greatly challenged, but also comforted my own heart. And it is my prayer that the Lord would richly bless His Word to every one of us this morning. But Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, and we're going to commence reading at verse 22. Sorry, it's Luke chapter 11. That's where I was getting things wrong there. Luke chapter 11. And we're commencing at verse 14. Speaking about Christ, we read, "And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusteth, and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house, whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he, and taketh to him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in, and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. In this passage, we have three categories of people. We have those who blatantly oppose the word of Christ. They say that Christ is from the devil. Then we have those who tempt Christ, who try Christ, and they say, well, maybe what you say is true, but give us a sign from heaven. Let us see something in the stars. Those who oppose the word of Christ, those who doubt the word of Christ. But then there are those who believe the word of Christ. In verse 27, a lady who considers Christ to be particularly special because of the words that he has just said. Let us bow in a word of prayer and ask the Lord would bless his word to our hearts. It would not be like the two former categories, but would be like that third category. Our gracious Lord and our Father in heaven, we thank you for your living word. We thank you that it is a powerful word. And so, Father, I pray now that you would fill me afresh with the Holy Spirit of God. Use me, Lord, as your channel. Help me, Lord, to know what to say. Help me, Lord, to know how to say it. And give me grace to be faithful to both. And we ask it now for the glory of Christ, the advancement of his kingdom, the good of thy people, and the salvation of the lost. Amen. Amen. If I was to give you a piece of paper this morning and ask you to write down who you deem to be the most blessed in this world, I wonder what you would write. Who are the people that are most blessed in this world? Some of you may write down, well, the most blessed people in the world today are those who have been given the greatest possessions. Other people may say the most blessed and the most happy people in the world today are those who have been bestowed the greatest favor from God by their talents and gifts. Others might write and say, well, the most blessed and happy people in the world today are those who have received the greatest privileges. And yet others might say the most blessed people in the world today are those who have experienced the greatest praise and honor of men. Who is the most blessed in the world today? In Luke chapter 11, verse 27, this woman describes Mary as someone who is tremendously blessed. Verse 27, she says regarding Christ, "Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked." When you think about the blessing that Mary had in that temporal and physical fashion, think about the honor that Mary received. Out of the literal millions of women in the Jewish nation that desired to be the instrument through which the Messiah would come, the Messiah that had been promised in the days of Adam and Eve, Mary was the one who was given the honor. Only Mary in the history of the world was ever given that honor, being the instrument through which the Savior of this world would come. In Luke chapter 1, verse 28, the angel Gabriel brings a message from God and says to Mary, "Thou art highly favored. Indeed, thou art blessed among women." Mary had a tremendous honor. Mary also had tremendous favor. In Luke 1, verse 30, we read that she was one who had found favor with God. And in Luke 1, 49, Mary herself said, "He that is mighty hath done to me great things." Not merely did Mary have honor given to her, but she had favor given to her. She also had privilege. She was that one instrument out of all the millions of women in history. She alone had that privilege. She also had praise. In Luke 1:48, Mary in her song declared, "From henceforth, because of what God's doing in me and through me, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." Mary knew rightly that people would rejoice and praise throughout the history of the world. In every generation, there would be people that would praise and call her blessed for what God was doing in her. I want to ask you this morning, do you desire to be blessed? Do you desire to be one of the most blessed people in the history of the world? You may say to me, "Preacher, I am nothing special." You may say, "Preacher, I am nothing extraordinary." You may say, "Preacher, I could never be blessed like Mary was blessed. Her blessing was unique. Her privilege, her gift, her honor, her favor, her praise could never be matched." But yet, while in verse 27, this lady blesses Mary, in verse 28, Christ responds. Doesn't deny that Mary is blessed. We read in verse 28, "But he that is Christ said, yea, rather, greater blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." Let me ask you this morning, do you desire to be blessed? Do you desire to be one of the greatest of people who are most greatly blessed in this world? Notice with me three truths this morning. To be blessed, you must, first of all, hear the word of God. If you want to be blessed by God and blessed greatly by God, you must hear the word of God. Look at me, please, at verse 28. Christ said, "Blessed are they that hear the word of God." You may say, "Well, why do I need to hear the word of God if I'm going to be blessed by God?" Well, if you turn me, please, to Psalm 119, keeping, of course, your bookmark or your finger or your place in Luke chapter 11. But Psalm 119, a psalm with 176 verses split into 22 categories, each one associated with a single letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and every verse of this psalm referring to and exalting the written word of God. This psalm speaks to us greatly about how it is God's word that is God's instrument for blessing. If you and I want to be blessed, we must hear the word of God. There's no blessing outside of the word of God. For example, if you're here and you're lost, you want to be born again, you want to be given life, you want the life of God in your soul, how will you ever get it? You will get it through the word of God. In Psalm 119, verse 15, the psalmist declares these words, "Thy word hath quickened me." It is thy word that hath given me life. Of course, this truth is seen in many other parts of the word of God. In 1 Peter 1:23, we read, "We are born again, quote, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God." In Psalm 19, verse 7, we read, "The law of the Lord is perfect, and it is the law of the Lord that does the converting of the soul by the Spirit of God." In James 1, verse 18, we read that God begat us with the word of truth. If you're here and you want the life of God to enter into your soul, you want to be saved, you want to be changed, you want to be made a child of God, well, you must hear the word of God. And also, dear believer, if you want the life of God to grow in your soul, you must hear the word of God. Regeneration, sanctification, comes through hearing the word of God. The word of God is God's single instrument for blessing. Notice also in Psalm 119, other blessings that we receive through the word of God, and that is wisdom and enlightenment. Look at me, please, at verse 104 of Psalm 119. The psalmist said, "Through thy precepts I get understanding." Many different terms are used in this psalm. Precepts, statutes, judgments, testimonies, law, all refer to the written word of God. "Through thy precepts I get understanding." Verse 130, "The entrance of thy words giveth light." It giveth understanding unto the simple. Do you want wisdom today? Do you want enlightenment? Do you want to know what is true in this world? Do you want to know God himself who is true? Well, enlightenment comes through the hearing of the word of God. Notice also that cleansing and purification comes through hearing the word of God. Verse 9 of Psalm 119, we read this question, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" The answer is given, "By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Do you want to die to sin? Do you want to live more and more under the Lord? Do you want to be changed, conformed more and more into the image of Christ, freed from the bondage that the sin has over you? Well, it must be accomplished through the hearing of the word of God. In John 17, verse 17, Christ is the one who prayed to his Father, and I believe he's praying at this very day. And he's praying to his Father in the merits of the blood that he shed. "Father, sanctify them, that is my people, through thy truth. Set them apart. Thy word is truth." In Ephesians 5, 25 and 26, we read that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. If you want to be blessed, you and I must hear the word of God. Perhaps there's someone here and you say, "Well, you know, I would love direction. There's so many different choices in life, and there's this path, and there's that path, and I would love to know what is the right path, and what's the safe path, one that I'm not going to fall into potholes and regret." Well, direction in the right and safe path comes through the hearing of God's word. Psalm 119, verse 105. What do we read there? The psalmist said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It's to show us the right way to go and to show us where we can escape and avoid the many pitfalls of life. Even the snares that enemies will lay for us, whether it be the devil or indeed the world. If you want to be delivered from such snares and such traps, well, listen to and hear the word of God. Verse 110 of Psalm 119, we read, the psalmist said, "The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts." You see, the wicked desired to trap the psalmist, but the psalmist was able to escape them by following the precepts, the word of God. Psalm 17, the psalmist said, "By the word of thy lips I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer." Perhaps your desire this morning ultimately is, "I would love peace. Peace in my mind and heart." Where does that peace come from? It comes through hearing the word of God. Look at me, please, at verse 165. "Great peace have they which love thy law." Perhaps you say, "No, hold on, preacher. You know, you maybe hit lots of people here today, but I want joy and I want gladness. How do I get that? How do I get true joy? How do I get true satisfaction and contentment in life?" Well, guess it comes through the word of God. Verse 54. "Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage." As I go throughout my pilgrim life, it is thy statutes, thy word, has been my song. Do you want to be wise? Do you want to be enlightened? Do you want to be saved? Do you want the life of God to grow in you? Do you want to become more and more like Christ? Do you want to be cleansed and purified? Do you want to be directed in the right and safe path? And do you want to be delivered from shame and regret and delivered from the snares of the enemies? Do you want peace in your mind and heart? Do you want joy and gladness? Do you want growth in Christ-likeness? Do you want any of these things? Well, then listen to what Christ says in Luke chapter 11. "Blessed are they that hear the word of God." You and I must place ourselves in that position where you and I will hear the word of God. Without the word of God, these blessings will not flow. God is one instrument for blessing. It is the word of God. I'm sure you can appreciate, therefore, why we read in Psalm 119 two things. The word of God was the treasure of the psalmist, and that the word of God was the delight of the psalmist. If you're still in Psalm 119, look with me at verse 14. The psalmist treasured the word of God. He said, "I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches." In fact, he goes on later in verse 72 and he says, "The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." In fact, he goes even further. He says in Psalm 119, verse 127, he says, "I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold." And then verse 162, he says, "I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil." If you get a grasp today, and if I get a grasp that God's instrument of blessing is His words, well, then we will surely treasure His word. We'll not neglect it. We'll not despise it. We'll not treat it irreverently, but we will treasure it. Be thankful to God for it and see it as our great treasure. The one instrument through which blessing will come. The psalmist delighted in and loved the word of God. Over 13 times we read how the psalmist declares, "I love thy word, I love thy law, I love thy testimonies." In verse 16 he says, "I will delight myself in thy statutes." In verse 119 of Psalm 119 he says, "I love thy testimonies." Verse 163 he says, "Thy law do I love." Verse 164, "Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments." Verse 167, "I love them exceedingly." Are you one this morning who desires to be greatly blessed, even more than what Mary was blessed? You may think that's impossible, but I tell you it's possible. Because Christ said even more than those temporal, physical blessings that Mary received. Christ says those that hear the word of God and keep it are blessed above her. Are you one who delights in the word of God? Are you one who sees the word of God as a treasure? Are you one who loves the word of God to read it and to hear it? Are you one who, like the hymn writer, sings more about Jesus? Tell me more about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. Or is it the reality this morning that you know the Word of God's important, you know the hearing of the Word of God's important, the preaching of the Word of God's important, but you're busy. I'm busy. Lots of things to do. I've read things before. I know what's in there. And the reality is you don't really treasure it. You don't really love it. You don't really delight in it. in the youth fellowship on Friday night past, we read the passage in Luke chapter 10, which of course just comes before what Christ says in Luke 11. At the end of Luke chapter 10, we have Mary and Martha. Christ with his disciples have come to their house. Martha is extremely busy, doing lots of good things. But Mary is the one who, although she knows there's lots of good things to do and important things to do and indeed urgent things to do, yet she sits at the feet of Christ to hear his word. She delighted in his word. Both Mary and Martha are believers. But Christ rebuked Mary lovingly and said that Mary has chosen that good part and that better part, which will never be taken away from her. The blessing that she's receiving now will never be lost. I wonder, are we those who are more like Martha? So busy with good things, so distracted, that we don't really treasure the word. You and I could look also at the children of Israel. Many of you will know how the children of Israel, they were brought out of Egypt and they were brought through the wilderness on the way to the promised land, that they were in the wilderness for 40 years. And the Lord was the one who gave them manna every single day, the first, the 6 days of the week. The purpose of the manna, of course, was to strengthen them physically, but it was also to strengthen them spiritually. You see, as they saw the manna fall every single morning of those 6 days in the week, the manna would remind them that God is faithful. He has given them what they have needed. Another day. The manna as it fell every morning would remind them that God is good. Not only does God give them what they need, but God gives them what is delicious, what is sweet, and what is pleasant. God would remind them through the manna that he is gracious. God has given them manna which they do not deserve. They're still sinful. They still fear the Lord, but the Lord is gracious to them. The Lord would remind them that God himself is powerful. You could do research into the many dozens, if not perhaps hundreds of tons of food that we needed every day to feed the 2 million plus people. God is powerful to provide manna every day for them, satisfy every mouth from the youngest to the oldest. The reality is that the children of Israel, they became so familiar with the manna, they no longer delighted in it. The manna became tedious to them. It became bland to them. It became dull to them. Even though it was sweet and pleasant, it was just so familiar to them. They got it every day, every week, every month, same old manna. Didn't delight it anymore. Didn't treasure it anymore. Didn't love it anymore. I wonder, is that how you and I view the Word of God? It's to strengthen us spiritually. It should show us the Lord. But yet, you and I, we have it every day. We have it every week. We have it every month. We know what's in there. It's tedious to us. It's bland to us. It's dull to us. If that's your heart this morning, and if that's my heart, we need to cry, Lord, make me like Mary. Make me to be one who sees the solemnity and the treasure and the wonder of thy word. Make me to treasure it. Make me to delight in it. Make me to sit at your feet. You see, to be blessed, that's the first point this morning. To be blessed, you must hear the word of God. Why? Because the first point is this: hearing the word is God's instrument for blessing. But there's another aspect to it, another sub-point, as it were. Hearing the word is God's instrument for blessing, but also hearing the word is God's instrument for power. In Luke chapter 11, verse 28, Christ said, "Blessed are they that hear the word." Christ did not say, "Blessed are they that read the word." Now, I have no doubt that there is a blessing in the reading of God's word, in the private reading, at the home, in school, in work, whatever it may be, in wherever you go, in the private reading of God's word, there is a blessing. And in one sense, that's what this term here can refer to. In Acts 22, verse 22, this verb to hear is translated as to give audience unto. But yet, Luke himself, in the usage of this word, he refers it primarily to the hearing of the public preaching of the word. Blessed are they that hear the public preaching of the word and keep it. If you want to turn me, please, for example, to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. We will look at instances in which we have these two terms, the word hear and the word for word. Logos and the Kyo, how Luke uses them. Only a small handful of times, and every time it's referring to the public preaching of God's word. Luke chapter 5 and the verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Christ to hear the word of God, of course the context is there as he stood by the Lake Gennesaret, Christ was publicly preaching the word. That's what's referred to here as the hearing of the word. If you want to look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, and then the verse 39, the context that I've already referred to regarding Mary and Martha in the house, we read that Mary, in Luke 10:39, Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, I would imagine that because Christ would have had a train of people following him, it was not just Christ there, it was not just the disciples there, it was not just Mary and Martha, there were other people there. And Christ was publicly preaching the words. The same author of the Gospel, according to Luke, the book of Acts, many times these two Greek terms, akou and logos, are used together. And again, they're used in the public preaching of God's word. Acts 4, verse 4. Read of about how Peter and John, they preached the word publicly at Jerusalem, outside the temple. And we read that many of them which heard the word believed. And the number of them was about 5,000. In Acts 10:44, people heard the public preaching of Peter. And we read that while Peter yet spake, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. What? The public preaching of God's word. In Acts 13:44, Paul is preaching the gospel publicly in Antioch. And we read, the whole city gathered together to hear the word of God. Acts 15:7, Peter said to the Jerusalem council, the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel. Men and women, I want to put this to you, that while God can bless his word, whether you read it privately, or whether you read it, wherever it is, and there is a blessing to be gained there without doubt, yet there is, generally speaking, a greater blessing to be found in the hearing of the public preaching of God. You may ask the question, well, where did I get that from? Well, let me just mention to you some things very briefly. The first is this. God's presence is greater revealed. It's more greatly revealed in public worship. If you want to turn me, please, to Revelation chapter 2. And while you're turning to that place, listen to Exodus 20, verse 24. Speaking about public worship, the Lord declares, in all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. God, we read in Scripture, records his name over his people. And God says, as my people gather together, and as my name is recorded there, I will come, I will visit, and as I visit, I will bless them. God's blessing was greater in public worship, generally speaking, in other places. But Revelation chapter 2, in the verse 1, and in this verse, we will read about him who is walking among the candlesticks. Unto the angel, the church of Ephesus, write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Yes, it is true that Christ's presence is in all places at all times. He will never leave nor forsake any individual one of his people, nor indeed his people collectively. But yet, as his people gather collectively, as a church body, as a congregation, because that's what the seven golden candlesticks are referred to in verse 20 of chapter 1. Christ says that he is in the midst in a very peculiar and special way. And as Christ promises to be with his people as they gather together to publicly worship him, you and I will find testimony after testimony after testimony of how people have revealed to them Christ. For example, the psalmist David was one who knew what it was to have great visions of God. In Psalm 18, he spoke about how the Lord was his rock, his fortress, his deliverer, his strength, his buckler, his horn of salvation, his high tower. David was one who knew much about seeing the Lord and knowing the Lord. But yet, in Psalm 27 and the verse 4, David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. The public worship of the Lord. Why? That I may behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. God places special emphasis upon the public preaching and then subsequently the public hearing of his word. Blessed are they that hear the words. In Psalm 63, verses 1 and 2, David would cry, O God, thou art my God, my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Why? To see thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Where was it David got his greatest visions of the glory and majesty and the power of God? It was in the sanctuary, in the public worship of God. Blessed are they that hear the word. Because God's presence is greater here, according to his promise. Generally speaking, in other places. But also, another reason to show that God blesses the public hearing of his word is that God has appointed and he does use for the good of his people a pastor teacher. Whenever Paul the apostle wrote to Timothy, he spoke about those who labor in the word and doctrine. The word for labor there is to labor until you're exhausted. Study the word of God. Why? That you may bring a word from God to the people. In Ephesians chapter 4, we're told the reason why God gives a pastor teacher as a gift to the congregation. In spite of the failures and the many faults of the pastor teacher, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and following, reveals to us what the purpose of a pastor teacher is. Verse 12, the perfecting of the saints, the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13, to enable the people of God to come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure, the stature, of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that the people of God are no longer children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Verse 15, that the people of God would speak the truth in love and grow up into Christ in all aspects of life. Let me ask you this morning, do you want to be blessed? Do you want the Lord to warm your heart whenever you backslide and to draw you back to himself? Do you want God to build you up, to make you a stronger child of God? Do you want God to increase your faith? Do you want God to give you a greater knowledge and sight of Jesus Christ? Do you want God to make you more and more and more mature in the Christian faith? Do you want to be protected from errors and heresies and unhealthy and dangerous teachings? Do you want to be drawn closer and closer to Jesus Christ? Christ says, blessed are they that hear the word. The public preaching of God's word. And so I come to a very simple application this morning. Do you desire to hear the word? I know you're here today, H-E-R-E, but do you desire to hear? People can come just to fill out some time. People can come just out of routine. But do you desire to hear the word? I think it's very important to understand that whenever Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, having paid the debt for our sins, he met with his people on the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, that day set apart. But he did so in the morning and he did so in the evening. He did so on both occasions. I will confess to you, whenever I was younger, I never really appreciated the evening service as much as what I do now. But the Lord opened up my heart and my mind to see that both morning and evening services are to reveal to us Christ. And that Christ has promised to be with his people when they meet together in the morning and in the evening. If I was to say to you that you could make an appointment with Jesus Christ. If I could say to you that Jesus Christ has declared that he will be in a certain place at a certain time in the week, would you desire to be there? Would you want to see Christ by faith? Would you want to hear what he had to say to you? You would say, of course I would. Well, every Lord's Day, Christ promises to be with you here in the morning and in the evening to speak a word to you. He shed his precious blood at Calvary that he could ascend from glory to give a gift to the pastor and a teacher that he would labor in the word and doctrine throughout the week to bring a word in the morning and in the evening for you. And if you want to be blessed, you must hear the word. I appreciate that there's many things in life, many good things and many important things. And there's family and there's things to do. But where you are able to put Christ first, I encourage you to come and hear the word, to meet with Christ, because he's promised to come to meet you. To be blessed, you must hear the word. A number of months ago, the Youth Council held a meeting, and it was to speak about missionary work. And Miss Margaret Russell, who had served the Lord for many decades out in Kenya, came along, and she spoke about getting a vision for missionary work. But in the midst of the presentation, she put up on the PowerPoint a slide which revealed to us the many people in this world who are not exposed to the gospel. Up-to-date figures in the last few years of those that are in the broad umbrella of Protestant churches. Now, not merely of those who say that they belong to them, but those who actually attend them, those who go to the church and to hear the gospel. In our little province here, less than a third of people are exposed to the gospel. Less than a third go to church, a Protestant church. And may I just say, that brings in all Protestant denominations. There will be those that preach the word better than others. In the Republic of Ireland, 5.5% are exposed to the word. In Europe, I'm told 28% are exposed to the word. In Asia, 9% are exposed to the word. In Australia, 18% only are exposed to the word. In total, Third Africa, Asia, Americas, Australia, just over a sixth of people are exposed to the word. The fact that God has brought you into circumstances that you're able to come and to hear the word, I ought to consider myself privileged. I think we all ought to as well. But notice with me, second of all, to be blessed, yes, you must hear the word, but also to be blessed, you must obey the word. Christ said in Luke chapter 11, verse 28, blessed are they that hear the word and keep it. The word for keep is used elsewhere in Scripture of guarding, where you would guard a person. The idea, you want to keep them. You don't want them running off and escaping. You want to keep them. Keep them close. Keep them near. Keep them secure. You don't want to lose what you've got. And Christ says, the blessed are those that hear and obey, and keep the word. Now, how do you and I keep the word? I've explained to you on other occasions how whenever I would have attended Cumberfree Presbyterian Church and heard the ministry of Reverend Thomas Murray, there wasn't a single Lord's Day where I was not blessed. Not a single Lord's Day that I could ever look back and say, I was not blessed. I was blessed week after week. God spoke to me a word in season. God gave me something of Christ, and I was just thrilled in my heart. But I will tell you, I went out, and while I may have been given a promise from God, and I may have received a blessing from God, I went out, and I hardly ever, ever, ever thought about it again. God may have given me a promise to plead, and I said, great, I've got a promise to plead, but did I ever record the promise? Did I ever pray over the promise? God may have given me a message of rebuke, or a message of challenge, or a message of comfort, and I went out saying, praise God, God spoke to me today, but I went out, and I didn't record it, and I didn't think about it, and I didn't pray over it. How can you keep the word? How can you guard the word? How can you obey the word unless you take note of it and you pray over it? It's interesting that the psalmist in Psalm 119, speaking about the word, he prays in verse 169, O Lord, give me understanding according to thy word. Yes, Lord, the natural man understandeth not the things of God. So, Lord, I need you to teach me as I come to your house. I need to hear your word. Verse 133, order my steps in thy word. Verse 35, make me to go in the path of thy commandments. Verse 10, let me not wander from thy commandments. There is that prayer to hear the word, but also that prayer over the words. Even after it, Lord, make me not to err from what I've heard. If you're to obey the word and therefore be blessed, you must hear the word. Yes, you must pray over the word, but also you must consider the word. In Psalm 119, verse 48, the psalmist said, I will meditate in thy statutes. Psalm 78, I will meditate in thy precepts. Psalm 95, I will consider thy testimonies. Psalm 97, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. It is my earnest desire here that I will be blessed. It is my earnest desire that everyone here will be truly blessed of God. That you and I will be what's described here in verse 8, verse 28 of Luke 11. But who is the blessed man? Psalm 1, verse 2, the blessed man is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate. Day and night, he meditates over the word. What does this teach me regarding the Lord? What does it teach me regarding Christ? How will this impact and change my life? He meditates over the word. How can you keep the word? How can you guard the word unless you think about it, unless you consider it, unless you pray for God to change your life through it? Of course, you must hear the word, pray over the word, consider the word, meditate on the word, but you must obey the word. The psalmist, he said, he obeyed the word quickly. Verse 6, he said, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. He wanted to go out and obey it immediately. He wanted to obey the word continually. He said in verse 16, I will not forget thy word. Verse 61, I have not forgotten thy law. Verse 93, I will never forget thy precepts. I wonder how many of you could put up your hand and say, you know, I've been blessed. I've been blessed as I've met in God's house week after week over the past year. And I never forgot week after week what God told me. I wonder who all could say that. I know I couldn't. Misobey the word sacrificially, no matter the cost. Psalm 119, verse 101, the psalmist said, I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. No matter what it costs me, I'm going to keep thy word. You must obey the word diligently. Verse 83 of the psalm, verse 157 of the psalm, he said, many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. Verse 161, princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. The psalmist went through difficult times. Times where people opposed him and people tried him. But he said, I still stand in awe of thy word. I do not decline from thy word. I do not forget thy word. You and I want to be blessed. You and I can be blessed. There's the comfort. But to be blessed, you must hear the word. You must be here under the public preaching of God's word. And to be blessed, you must obey the word. You must keep it. You must guard it. You must pray over it. You must consider it. You must meditate over it. You must apply it to your life. You must ask God to change your life. In Matthew chapter 12, turn with me there, please, just as I try and bring a conclusion to these things. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. In the verse 36, Christ is speaking. And he says in verse 36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Every idle word that men shall speak. Christ makes it clear to us, and if we stand before him, we will have to give an account of every word we've ever spoken. Every word. You may say, what's that got to do with what you're preaching on this morning? Well, it's simply this. If we're going to have to give an account before Christ of every light, useless, empty word that we've ever spoken, every idle word, how much more will we have to give an account of every weighty, full, wholesome, profitable word we've ever heard? If you're brought up in a church that preaches the word of God and you live to 70 years, you will have heard around 6,500 sermons. That is a great privilege. But how will we stand before God and how will we say regarding what we've done with the word? We'll be held account
for every word that we've heard. What do we do with it? I have always, since the last probably decade, remembered the illustration of Abraham. I was reading through his life, and it just came to me. In Genesis chapter 11, the end of it, the beginning of chapter 12, God gave Abraham a promise. A very simple promise, a very clear promise. That he was to leave where he was and go to a land that God had for him. Ultimately, of course, the seed was Christ and the land was the new heaven and earth. But it was a promise given to Abraham. Abraham would go through after that times of difficulty. Times of bereavement. He would lose the wife whom he loved. He would go through times of tiredness, having to travel trips at 600 miles at a time. He would have to go through times of division, times of family turmoil, times of great danger, times of disappointment. But what was it that kept him going? It was the promise that God gave to him. Abraham didn't have the book of Genesis. He didn't have the 66 books of the Bible that you and I have. He simply had a single promise from God. And while there was times whenever God stepped in to repeat that one single promise, maybe expand on it a little bit here and there, but let us get this. There were occasions where for 13 years at a time, God spoke nothing to Abraham that we're aware of. Can you imagine? God gave you a promise today. God encouraged you today. And you wouldn't hear a word from God. You couldn't read the Word of God. You couldn't think of anything else regarding what you ever heard regarding the Word of God. For 13 years. Would you remember what God spoke to you? Would you be able to hold on to that one promise? Would that keep you going through times of great bereavement and of trial and of persecution and of division in the family? Would it keep you going? Would it keep you going, willing even to sacrifice your own child to God? Abraham put such a weight, such a reverence, such a treasure to the words. I cannot help but think the many times that I feel God, and if only I'd remembered the word that God has spoke to me, if only I'd remembered the promise that God has given to me, how things would have been different. If you're going to be blessed, you must hear the word of God. But if you're going to be blessed, you must hear and obey the word of God. Judas Iscariot was one who heard the public preaching of Christ. He saw the miracles of Christ. He saw many of the glories of Christ, the majesty of Christ, and the power of Christ. But it did him no good because he did not obey the word that he heard. And in fact, may I just conclude and say this, for my time is gone. If you and I do not obey the word, there will be a great judgment. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 13, turn with me there, last place I'll ask you to turn to. Proverbs 13. Verse 13 of chapter 13. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. But he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 23 and 24, Christ spoke to those in Capernaum. And he said, Thou Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. The Bible speaks about different degrees of punishment in hell. Different levels of punishment. Every one's horrific. The most anybody could ever take. But just like you can get different thicknesses of wire, a thin bit of wire can receive a maximum amount, which is quite small. But yet a thick piece of wire can receive a greater amount, but still be at its maximum. Who are those that are going to be so fitted in hell as like that great thick wire to receive an horrific judgment from God? It's not going to be the witch doctors that never heard the word. It's not going to be the heathen that never heard the word, the drug addict with all the needles that never heard the word. It's going to be those that heard the word and despised it. Because as Hebrews tell us, you trample upon the blood of Christ with your feet.
As I finish, will you and I be like Abraham who heard the word? He prayed over the word, who believed the word, and who kept the word. We'll be like the Bereans when they heard the word, heard the public preaching, the Apostle Paul. They received it with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures at home daily whether those things were so. And as a result, they saw Christ as they did. Will you and I be like the Hebrew Christians? In Hebrews chapter 5, where the Apostle Paul had to rebuke them. He said, for when, for the time, you ought to be teachers. You ought to be so knowledgeable in the Word of God. But he says, you're like children. You need to be taught the first principles, the ABC of the gospel. You're not able to learn more of Christ because you're like children. You never pray over the Word. You never meditate over the Word. You never grow in the Word. To be blessed, you must hear the word. And to be blessed, you must obey and keep the word. Will we? My earnest desires for myself is a message to me before anybody else. My earnest desire for you, every one of you, is that we will be here, present, to hear the word. Not a preacher, but the word of God. And that we will go out and we'll think about the word, and we'll pray over the word, and we'll seek to see Christ in the word, and we'll obey the word. And you and I, if we do so, we'll be more blessed than those temporal blessings that Mary received that set her apart from the millions upon millions of women. Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Will you and I be blessed? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I ask you that in spite of me, that I would be pleased to take thy word and let it live. Father, thou art the one who has sent thy beloved Son into this world, yes, to forgive us our sins, but to be present here, week by week, to walk among the candlesticks, to walk in the very midst, that he would speak to us through his word, reveals to us himself, conform us from glory into glory, into his image. And make us be a shining, strong light in this world. May we be present to hear thy word and to hear thy Son. For those that are lost, Father, may they see the importance of obeying the word that they know. Not putting it off because no man knows what a day may bring forth. But Lord, if they've heard the word one time or they've heard the gospel 1,000 times, that they need to obey it now. Because now is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptance. May they escape the great judgment that awaits from all those that despise thy word. Save them, we beg of you. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.